We're going to ask you a few questions about the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him. And you have 60 seconds to answer each one. Are you ready? Did the children of the Prophet Adam and Eve, peace be upon them, marry each other? Isn't this a sin? If the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, did not commit that sin, we would still be in heaven, living a heavenly life. So where's our fault in all of this? How tall was the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him? Hadith records tell us that he was tall, but excavations show us that this was not true. How can this be? Did the children of the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, and Eve marry their siblings? Isn't this sinful? Now, first of all, let's acknowledge a fact. Isn't it Allah who determines what is lawful or sinful? Yes, Allah determines this. The fact that something is good or bad is determined by Allah. For example, drinking is a sin, right? Something bad and improper. Why? Allah described it as improper and bad. For us, lamb tallow is considered pure and lawful to consume, but in the time of the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, it was considered unlawful. Which means that Allah can determine things as lawful or unlawful according to the conditions and circumstances, just like in the previous example. So, just like this, Allah prescribed some specific rules for the first humans for the time of our father and mother, the Prophet Adam and Eve, peace be upon them. Our holy mother Eve had twins every time she gave birth, and a twin from one birth would marry the other twin from a different birth crosswise, so that each would marry the most distant relative. But because there weren't obviously many people then, the most distant relative would be one sibling from the other birth. Like we previously explained, this is not unlawful because Allah determines what is lawful or not, and specific to that period, He changed the rules and laws. Actually, when you think about it, we all came from the same mother and father. So couldn't we say that we are all brothers and sisters? Yes, we are. But do we feel this way towards the person we intend to marry? No. So this means that if Allah did not put this feeling in us, that He mustn't have created such a feeling between those people who married their distant sibling. That is quite logical and within reason.
Now we are going to continue with our questions about the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him. So why were we expelled from heaven due to the Prophet Adam's, peace be upon him, wrongdoing? If the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, didn't commit that sin, then we would still be in heaven and be living a heavenly life. So where is our fault here?
We shouldn't think we were sent here as a sort of punishment for the Prophet Adam's, peace be upon him, sin. Why not? Because human beings have been sent here for a reason, meaning that we have a very important duty here. We can call it detective duty. I was created to understand that Allah is the healer. How can I understand that Allah is the healer? There needs to be a realm where there are illnesses, or let's say that I need to acknowledge Allah as the forgiver. There needs to be a place like earth where sins are abundant. So how does man climb the ladder of morality? By clashing with the devil and his ego. Therefore, a place like earth is essential. Let's look at Surah Baqarah, verse 30. Allah declares to the angels, I will create a successor, Khalifa, on earth. So Allah said that He was going to send the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, to earth even before He had created him. He says that this is why He created him. So what is the significance of eating the forbidden fruit? That is just an excuse and an example for us to deduce meaning from to learn a lesson. What kind of lesson? We understand that the devil is a seriously dangerous opponent and enemy via this example. And it also clearly points to the fact that Allah will forgive those who repent. So we can say that fundamentally, the event of eating the fruit is just a cause.
Okay, so how are so many people of so many different races with different physical characteristics created from someone like the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him? How did this happen?
Consider this. Doesn't Allah create thousands of different plants and thousands of different fruits from the same soil? He does. They all have different colors, scents, and appearances. Does He create thousands of flowers and plants? He does. So then, if Allah can create thousands of fruits, vegetables, and flowers from the same soil, it shouldn't surprise us that He can create thousands of different kinds of people from the first human who was created from the soil. Actually, anyone with a background in biology would know that this is perfectly logical. Why so? Because the science of biology tells us that genes possess both dominant and recessive characteristics, which are passed down through the generations from a mother and father. This process provides biodiversity in the future generations, and that this is the way that Allah creates human beings. It is also quite possible that Allah could have placed a seed with all the variety found in creation today in the Prophet Adam's, peace be upon him, gene map, and that all the various creations stemmed from that.
How tall was the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him? Hadith records tell us that he was tall, but excavations show us that this was not true. How can this be?
So, when we look at hadith traditions, we see that the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, was 60 zira tall.
What is 60 zeta? It's said that he was about 40 meters tall, but when we look at the hadith and commentaries, we see differing interpretations. For example, a zeta can be a variety of measurements. Some scholars, such as Ibn Khaldun, say that this is his height in heaven, and this was changed into a more proportionate measurement when he was sent to earth. And when we look at another hadith of our dear Prophet, peace be upon him, especially the ones where he mentions the Prophet Adam's, peace be upon him, height, we see that these are about the hereafter, which shows us that what is related here is most probably his height in heaven. So when we look at the commentaries, we see that there are many differing interpretations. Ibn Khaldun's view is that his height in heaven is 40 meters.
It is said that the angels prostrated to the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, and that the devil did not. Is it right to prostrate to anyone other than Allah?
The thing we need to concentrate on here is the word prostrate, which does not mean prostration in the form of worship. We need to be clear here. And also, since Allah commanded that they should prostrate, naturally there can't be anything wrong with it. It can't be for the purpose of worship either. Let's think about this for a moment. Don't we also prostrate towards the Kaaba? Yes, we do. Does this mean that we are worshiping the Kaaba? No, not at all. It only shows the direction of the Qibla. This is the same thing. The fact that the angels prostrated to the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, does not mean that they worshipped him. When we look at scholars' commentaries here, we see that this is a way of expressing respect and accepting the greatness of another. Scholars have also said that this means that they accepted his role as a successor, Khalifa. So we shouldn't miss the main point here. This is not a form of worship, just like it isn't so regarding the Kaaba. This is merely a sign of respect, salutation, and acceptance of his role as a successor, Khalifa. Okay, so now we have answered your questions, but what I don't understand is, aren't these very trivial issues? These questions are about the details. Would it matter if you knew about these things or not? These shouldn't be our main issues. We should be thinking about finding Allah, getting to know Allah, and asking, why was I created? What is my duty? So these are the fundamental issues. The truths and proofs are here, we should concentrate on them. But when we look at what our brothers are asking, we can see that they're distracted with these issues. For example, they may not know the details about praying, or they may not be praying, but they're drowning in such details. I think we should ask ourselves, what did I gain from this knowledge, right? What have I gained from this? Sometimes atheists also ask questions such as, how tall was he, or what was the fruit he ate? These issues are not related to the existence of Allah. These are details. And in fact, the Holy Quran did not mention such details. Like, for example, what the fruit actually was. The details weren't given, so it mustn't be a very important issue. We should take the meaning and focus on it. We can comprehend the knowledge this way.